Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. So,
I feel like you very rarely do two people cases.
This did not start out this way, and you'll understand when I get into it.
Okay, I'm not even going to Google. I'm just going to let you tell me a story.
Oh, good. Okay, so I came across this case by accident. I was researching somebody else and there wasn't any information, and I think I just went to an article and either this was mentioned or it was in the Google search or something, and I clicked on it, and by the time I was done reading, I was like, it's meant to be. It's done. It's
okay.
Totally done. And there's a second thing about this. So you talk about Payne Lindsay a lot.
Yes.
And your admiration for him and what he does. And to be honest with you, I hadn't heard his podcast, and I came to find out that he has a show.
Yes.
I think. Yes. Yeah. No, I know he does. What am I saying? And after that, I was like, I totally get it. I think he's brilliant. I think he's kind of on the track of, you know, what we do with missing people. He is heartfelt and sincere.
Yes, only he goes out and tries to solve it.
I mean, I would love to be able to do that. But if we can't, I'm glad he's doing it.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's great for it. So what I discovered after reading and Googling is that he covered this case and he actually had it on his show. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pay so I can watch it 100%. And I'm really glad I did, because there's not a single article out there that has some of the stuff that he does. I would not have been able to put the background on this case unless he had actually gone out and done the work. So I want to give him the credit a million times over. With that being said, and with the understanding that this part of the case would not be possible without his work and going out and getting interviews, I'm going to tell you of the case of Karina Malinowski and Annette Sagers, or Sagers. Karina was born in approximately 1960, 1961. I don't have – the Charlie Project didn't even have her date of birth. She grew up in Missouri. I believe it was Missouri. And little is known other than she was extremely close to her brother, Leon. And this is the part where I'm talking about Payne Lindsay's work in putting together the background, because he went out and got the only interview ever done with her brother, Leon. Leon says that him and Karina were so close and they had just nothing but one another, and therefore they were very much each other's person, just a great relationship. He would drop anything for her, and likewise her, him. Leon and his wife remember a kind, loving, and thoughtful young woman who loved kids and was always in touch with family. When Karina was 16 years old, she found out she was pregnant, and she gave birth to a baby girl, Annette. Annette's father was not named and is not involved in with Karina or in Annette's life whatsoever. For a while, Karina focused on working and just taking care of Annette. I think, you know, I can speculate that that's just standard. She found a job, she went to work, made sure her daughter's needs were met. Didn't have, like, a whole lot of social relationships that I know about or anything like that, just focused on that one goal. At the age of 20, Karina met Steve Malnowski, and he was 12 years her senior. He was previously in the military, and when they met, he was working at a carnival. Leon has said in the Payne Lindsay episode that he, right off the bat, wasn't really fond of Steve. Just no reason. I think maybe he just got, like, a bad vibe from him or something. But, you know, like, I think he's that brother that isn't really going to tell his sister what to do or say, hey, I disapprove of him, or I'm cutting you off because of how much I don't like him. It just kind of just sucked it up and said, if this is what my sister wants, this is what my sister wants. So the two really seemed to hit it off, and they got married on October 16th of 1981, which is pretty much down to the day here. And they quickly moved to South Carolina because this is where Steve got a job, and he got a job as a caretaker on a plantation. So they lived there too. Karina went on to have two sons with Steve, and she worked at a local convenience store. Sounds like the town over or something. So she would leave and go there. And she was a great worker. She was prompt. She didn't miss days of work or anything like that. She just had great work ethic. Early on in the relationship, it was pretty clear that it was troubled. And I guess we can recognize it as probably tumultuous. And I think most people say, like, yeah, they didn't get along. They fought or whatever. And physical abuse is speculated. I'm not sure if anyone ever saw it or if Karina actually disclosed it to anybody. But it's, you know, seems to be that most people speculated that's what was going on. On November 21st of 1987, pretty standard day just like any other, what we know from Steven is that him and Karina were arguing. I don't think anyone knows exactly what it was about. It sounds like he was a drinker, and it sounds kind of like he doesn't have memories or whatever of things going on, probably because of heavy drinking. So, like I said, they were arguing, and at some point at 11:30 in that window of time, she leaves the house, and she says, I'll be back, and she hops in her car, and she drives away. When Karina didn't show up for work, her boss came looking for her. He drove all the way out to the plantation, and when he got to the gate, he notices on the other side of the gate is Karina's car. And the gate is locked, so he's not going to go wandering onto the property, but he's like, it doesn't look driven or anything like that. There's dew on the windshield and the windows, so, you know, it doesn't sound like she was just here a few minutes ago parking her car, like it's been there. Steven did file a police report that day and contacted Leon, her brother, who lives states away, if you remember. And he told Leon a different story, according to Leon. A different story than what he told law enforcement. He said that after the argument, she got in the car and she started to drive away. And then when she got to the end of the driveway, and it was a very long driveway, by the way, this isn't just I'm looking out my window, I can see the street. It's a long driveway. And he says that when she got to the end, she got out of her car and hopped into an unknown person's van and drove away. Steve held to not knowing and had inconclusive polygraphs, as, you know, he would be suspected first. Law enforcement really didn't have anything on him to pursue this further. They had no physical evidence or anything that there was something wrong. So that's kind of where that investigation halted.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure it was frustrating for Leon and everything, and life went on as usual. According to the episode I watched of Up and Vanished, Leon and his wife actually went out to the plantation. They drove there to see what they could do to help. And this was in the first few weeks after Karina's disappearance. They remember something that was really disturbing in hindsight. When they got to the house, Annette seemed to be trying to get Leon's wife's attention to go upstairs into the attic and look at something or look for something. They don't know what it was, and Steve kind of put a halt to that, and that's kind of where that was. But in hindsight, obviously, they're like, I wonder what Annette was trying to tell us. So, again, you know, at some point they leave and go back home. They're empty-handed. And really no one has any choice at this point but for life to go on as usual until something comes up. So, time passes. Steve is raising these two little boys, and he's also continuing to raise Annette. She's about 11 years old at this time, and that was life. Almost 1 year later, Annette, while waiting for the bus, at about 7 o'clock in the morning, witnesses state they saw her at the end of the driveway. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen these, Melissa, but it's definitely prevalent in the Northeast, at least, and perhaps even down south. There's these like little huts at the end of people's driveways, especially if they're long driveways. They look almost like a little teeny tiny house, and it's got three walls and it's got a roof. It's adorable. And if you ever passed one, you know exactly what I was talking about, but they're generally for people to wait for the school bus.
Okay.
Have you ever seen them?
No, but go ahead.
I'm sure that you have, but now you'll keep your eyes open. When you spot one, you'll be like, that's what Amy was talking
about. Yes.
Anyway, that's where Annette was sitting, all the way down at this driveway. She did this every day, and on this day of October 4th, and this is in 1988, mind you, like I said, almost 1 year later after Karina disappears, Annette goes missing.
What?
She left behind a note that Steve found. It looked like it had been crumpled or something like that. And I'm going to read it to you. The note said, Dad, Mom came back. I have to go with her. Give the boys lots of kisses and hugs. And also you too. Love, Annette. So I'll just skip to the part you're all wondering. Like, did she really write the note? Right? Is it her right. handwriting?
Yes.
And the short of that is, handwriting experts say it is Annette. Now, does that mean she wrote it because she's standing there and her mom drove up and she has to write a note? Or is it someone or something that is forcing her to write a note to lead investigators in a different direction? That we don't know.
Well, I already hate this.
At this point, does Steve call Leon and say, hey, now your niece is missing? And also, hey, I guess your sister's okay because she drove back? Nope. He does not do that at all, ever. But I'll tell you what he does do in the next coming months. He packs up and he leaves for Florida. He's moving. He's not going on vacation. He's moving. Bye-bye. See you later. And you know what he does next? No, you don't, because it will floor you. He puts his sons in foster care and signs away his rights.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking as well. That is what he does. And without really anything, that's kind of where the story ends. Now, I'll tell you some details that there were search. Of course, people were like, this is weird. We want to talk more about Steve. We want to go to the place that both Karina and Annette last were and search there. And they did. They've searched the property numerous times over the years. And they found next to nothing. The one thing they did find that they didn't investigate more of, but they surely recognize as kind of odd at the time, was when they searched one of the ponds on the property, they found a rolled up rug under the water, like that had been thrown into the water or disposed of there. Did they keep the rug? No, they did not. Would they have found DNA evidence? No, they would not have in 1988. Did they really look at what this could mean? Doesn't really sound like it. There was no body in it and no remains, which that would have immediately gave us some answers. So I'll just let you know that right now that those things weren't there. But beyond that, law enforcement has had their hands tied and has not been able to do anything. And they have moved nowhere closer at all to knowing where Karina or Annette is till this day.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right. Well, let's talk about Annette for 1 second. That window is much smaller, right? Because she went to the bus stop, and I can't imagine a kid's going to be out there an hour early. You know what I mean? So, like, her window of time is probably much smaller.
Sure is. So, witnesses say 7 a.m., and I think, if I remember correctly, and I'm sorry I didn't write this part down, she was gone by the time the bus came at 7:30.
And no one saw anything, right?
No one saw anything whatsoever.
Wonderful. All right, what else you got?
I wish I had more to tell you. There's nothing. Well, no. Okay, so that's not true. Now, Steve still lives in Florida. And I actually, I would love if you went and watched this episode. So I'm not going to give all the details because I definitely want to support the show and Payne Lindsay's work. But I will say that Payne Lindsay did his own interview. And he wasn't alone when he did that interview. And no, he didn't find out anything. I mean, generally speaking, Steve's like, well, I don't know. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't remember this. What? And that's what they got out of him.
So what are the theories?
So the theories are foul play. Random or was it Steve is the question. Another theory is that, I mean, there are really kind of two main theories here, that Annette really was picked up by her mother, who did return. But you have to remember that if that's true, then why did Karina leave her two sons behind? And either something happened to them or they're out there somewhere living their life. That's generally it.
So what are your thoughts? Because you've researched it and heard the interviews.
So I think I thought what a lot of people were when they think about Karina actually returning. I mean, you forgot your two sons. Why? That doesn't make any sense. And then my second thought is, okay, so let's say she did, and she had her reasons for leaving her sons. I don't know. Okay, so Annette is 11 years old. She has the wherewithal. She knows she left her life with her mom. And I just can't fathom. I can fathom this for Karina, maybe, like never getting in touch with anybody again. But when Annette becomes an adult, she's not like, oh, like, people are looking for me, or I'd like to let my mom's family know that I'm safe and that I didn't, in fact,
yes
die.
And no.
No. So this is,
well,
30 years ago, and that has not happened.
But think about Aisha DeGree. She was 9 or 11 when she went missing, and people still think she's alive. And we had the same type of conversation, but brainwashing is tough.
That is fair. That is fair. So maybe Karina has said, you know, it's really dangerous for us to go back.
Right.
So I do understand that. But you also have to remember, too, that to my knowledge, there's never been a sighting of them. Never.
Right. But that was back in the 80s. Like, if all they had to do was leave the country or the state and then change their appearance.
Then you have to remember she didn't leave in her car. Which either means she saved up and got her own other car, or that someone helped her.
And loose lips sink ships. So more people that know about it, the less likely it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the alternative of that is what? Steve did something?
That is a very common theory that I believe that the family even thinks.
Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, there was domestic violence. Her employer suspected that their relationship wasn't great. I don't think the employer knew of specific physical violence between the two, but yeah, it wasn't great. But then you get to the point of, why Annette? Why wouldn't you kill the two boys?
Well, if it's a domestic violence / thing against women,
mm-hmm.
You don't kill the boys because they're boys.
That's a point that I hadn't thought about. But I'll tell you what I did think.
And that would actually justify why she would come back for her daughters and not her sons.
Her sons are like 4 and 2. But I
don't know.
Well, a common thought is that, yes, they did have an altercation, one of many at some point. And he hurts her and or kills her. And either Annette is a witness or she knows by seeing the body that something happened. And the boys are so small, they can't remember. So at some point, he knows, or Annette says something about to Steve, like, I saw my mom's body, or I know what you did, and I'm going to tell, or something like that. And then he's like, I have no choice. I have to murder her, too. And I'm going to make it look like...
Yeah, but it's 11 months later.
It's 9 months later, which doesn't make a difference, but I just want people to know, like, how short of a window it was. It is, but I would think that he didn't kill his wife on purpose. So he's not, like, this serial killer. So he didn't want to have to do it again until he felt like he was kind of in a position where he had to. But what was he going to do? He was going to make it look like his wife came back for their daughter, or her daughter, actually. And he made her write a note. And he left it at the bus stop and did whatever. And he didn't hurt the boys because he didn't have to, because they were so small they couldn't remember anything. But he doesn't want to raise kids, so what does he do? He signs his rights away.
I hate every single bit of this.
It's really bizarre. And I started reading it, and I actually didn't know this was a two-person gone missing case until I read the part where it was like, then Annette goes missing. And I'm like, what? Excuse me? So, yeah, it's wild. And a random foul play? Like, someone's just sitting at the end of their driveway stalking?
No, it's not random. It's got to be either she left her life or Steve did it.
Right, because what? They come back and then they kidnap her? Or it's a different person? Like, that would be wildly and insanely coincidental.
Right, but we just covered a case on VIP Patreon where we unpacked an episode of Dateline where both the daughter and the son have been missing or murdered in completely separate incidences. Mm.
In rural South Carolina?
No, but it was in Maryland. But, like, still, I'm saying it is possible.
It is possible.
I don't agree, but...
Not likely, though.
I think... Right.
And if it was random foul play, do you think someone would waste any time letting her write a note there at the bus stop? Hey, just can you get out your pen and pencil from your, your pencil and your pad from your backpack? Just write a little note. Let everyone know that you're going away with your mom. That would also indicate that that person knew
that her mom
went missing. So I think we quickly cancel out random.
So do you think she's with her mom?
No, I don't.
Okay, so what do you think happened?
I do think that that letter was written under duress, and I think that he murdered half of his family, and I don't know where he disposed of them, but I'm inclined to think he's solely responsible.
So I don't have a why.
A why from Steve?
Oh, from anything. No, I actually think I have a better chance of a why with leaving her life than I do with her being murdered.
I don't. I think this was domestic violence that escalated.
I don't think you could be, you don't think you're wrong, but I also could make the argument that, like, she left, she built herself a new life, and came back for her daughter. She knew that she couldn't do it on her own right then. She knew she couldn't take her daughter in the beginning. So she went, she built herself a new life, changed her identity, and came back when she knew her daughter would be at the bus stop.
I'll tell you the only reason I can get behind that. And it's because why would Steve have her go to the bus stop that morning and then, what, go pick her up and murder her then? Do you know what I mean? Like, if she was never seen at the bus stop, okay, I get that. Something happened in the house. But she was at the bus stop. If we're trusting our witnesses, right?
Right. And there's a bittersweet thing with that. Like, it's a 50-50. If there's no event tying their memory to seeing her that day, it might not be an accurate viewing of her.
Right.
I'll use the Asia McLean example.
Okay. Yes.
When she said she saw Adnan in the library, she said, I was fighting with my boyfriend because he forgot to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
And her boyfriend was pissed because he saw her talking to Adnan. Those are two specific examples of outside factors that solidify those memories.
Yes.
Driving to work and seeing a little girl that you probably see every day is less of a event that sticks out in your mind.
Right. And because there's no cell phones or anything, you know, like people, like she was missing, you know, the family made a report that day, or maybe even, you know, finding out that she didn't make it to school. And then neighbors or people in the community probably didn't find out for days. So then they were like, well, maybe we did see her. Whereas, like, if news traveled faster and people knew the very next day, they could be like, no, yesterday I didn't see her. It was 2 days ago. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I don't know what that convinced me of.
Well, I think this is just the only thing that sways me against Steve. Because if you were going to harm Annette, then wouldn't you just do it in the house? Like, she wouldn't have made it to the bus stop.
Unless he found, like, a diary while she was at the bus stop.
That's a possibility.
And I mean, I'm obviously grasping at straws at this point.
Sure, but it would be something for a 1980s young, like, adolescent girl to have.
Right, and if he saw it, and in it, it said something to my dad and my mom, he may go get her and be like, okay, you can't be around anyone right now.
Agreed. Well, okay, so you very awesomely played devil's advocate on these theories. Where do you land, though?
I think she left her life.
You do?
I do.
Are you being serious?
I am. I think that she was in an abusive relationship and decided that she needed to build herself a new life and knew that she would always come back for her daughter. So she went and did her own thing.
Why wouldn't she contact her brother? She's not trying to hide the fact that she took her daughter. So we know she's alive. Why wouldn't she just call her brother?
Because the minute you tell someone, everyone knows.
But people already know that she took her own daughter.
Right. And her husband probably is trying to charge her with kidnapping. You can't just take your kid.
She can actually take her kid. He has no legal right to her.
I don't think she'd want to fight that in court, though. And you're looking at that with a 2022 lens?
I disagree. However, I did just talk myself into, you know, that could be a reason that she left the boys behind. I know I can take my daughter without any problem whatsoever. She's mine, solely mine. But if I take my sons, then I'm in for it.
Right.
In terms of a fight in court. With that being said, though, I don't believe she left her life. I really believe that Steve had something to do with this.
I mean, it's not impossible. But I also think it's just as likely she left her life.
What do you think Annette was trying to tell her aunt about what was in the attic?
Evidence. If you think that he did it.
Right. And that's what most would believe.
Remind me of what she told her.
She was just kind of like pointing that she wanted to take her up into the attic. Didn't say what it was for or anything.
Maybe a private space to talk.
Could be. About what?
Maybe her mom had a diary and she hid that up there.
Maybe.
Like, maybe Annette knew her mom left.
Perhaps. I mean, they're all things I can wrap my head around.
Yeah, I mean, if Annette believes that her mom left because her mom says, I'm going to come back for you, maybe it's that.
What makes it difficult for you to believe that this is Steve, though?
Not the Corinna part of it, but the Annette part of it does. It gives me, like, Alyssa and Sarah Turney vibes.
Okay.
And I think about, he very clearly obviously hurt Alyssa, murdered Alyssa, and never even looked at Sarah because she was his biological daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to go down the route of Steve did something, maybe he did it because she wasn't his biological daughter. If he didn't want to have kids and didn't want to be a dad and was going to give up his own kids, he didn't have a right to give up Annette.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, this is just like a violent dude. And he accidentally went too far.
That's very generous of you.
Totally generous. And he had to cover it up. But he either knew or was really worried that his stepdaughter saw that, and he didn't choose to automatically like murder her as well. But it came to the point where he was like, nope, she definitely saw something or knows something, and I have to do something about that.
Or she's just my stepdaughter and not my real child, so I don't care about her.
Right. But there's a reason he went on raising her for 9 months.
Yeah, because he can't immediately kill her, because then he will look bad for him.
Right. But, I mean, he already looks pretty bad, and he just signs over his two kids' rights.
I don't know. I still think that it could be that she left her life.
Sure. Do I think it's a possibility still? Absolutely. But I'm feeling pretty confident that he's responsible for whatever the demise was.
Do you want to open it up?
I do.
Yeah. So
this is a weird one.
And it's very uncommon for Amy and I to land completely on opposite sides. So please tell us what you think.
Yes. I'm excited to hear about it.
Tell us if you think it's Steve, if you think it's left her life, or if something in between. And then how does Annette play into it? And right. We'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.